Hello, it's Tuesday, October 24th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We apologize yesterday that our site was offline for a couple hours. If you didn't have a chance, please watch yesterday's video version of Wing TV. It was a real sizzler. And something that everybody should take a look at and pay attention and really think about the things that we were saying. Also, we'd like to announce that we're now making available a new book by Mr. James Petras called The Power of Israel in the United States. A very, very interesting book. And
soon we're going to have other books available on our bookstore page, and we'll have those up for you within the next few days.
Right, as well as other videos, too. In addition, one quick news update before we get to what we mentioned we're going to talk about today. Jeffrey Skilling, one of the infamous Enron crooks, was sentenced yesterday to 24 years in prison. The thing we have to ask is, how long do you think it'll be before he dies?
Yeah, and gets a clean slate.
And gets his slate wiped clean like Kenneth Lay did. And if you go to the Wing TV homepage today, there's actually an article written by somebody questioning, like so many other people, whether Ken Lay is actually dead or alive.
You know, it really makes me wonder if Charles Manson would have suffered the same fate as Ken Lay.
Yeah.
If they would have wiped his slate clean, too.
Yeah, so it's good that there's some justice. We're just wondering now how long this justice is going to last before Mr. Skilling ends up mysteriously dead also. Now, the big prediction yesterday that I mentioned, if you go to the Wing TV homepage, you'll see it there. Is who is going to be on the Democrats' presidential ticket in 2008. My prediction, you're hearing it here first, is Hillary Clinton as the presidential nominee and as her VP, Mr. Barack Obama.
That's an interesting thing to think about. We watched him on Larry King, was it?
Correct.
The other night?
Right.
This guy comes off pretty smooth, like kind of preacher-like. In his speeches, yet in one-on-one conversation with Larry King, he could barely converse.
Yeah, he wasn't real slick, or the big word that everybody uses to describe Barack Obama is charismatic. But that evening, and we never watched Larry King.
No, but we wanted to see Barack.
Yeah, he was on that night, and the reason I said we should watch him is last week he was on the cover of Time magazine, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then, a couple days later, he was on Larry King, and I said to Lisa, I said, we better watch him, see what he's all about. The interview lasted from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock. We probably lasted until 9:20 or 9:25.
Yeah, we had enough.
And that was enough.
You know, what's interesting is the similarities in his upbringing to Bill Clinton's. He, too, came from a very poor upbringing. They were on welfare, I guess, his family. Yet he ends up in private school while his family's on welfare.
Well, his father left him.
Very interesting.
And that's what we're wondering. And was, here's his mother on welfare, but he attends this very elite private school in Hawaii. Now, I don't know how many families are on welfare in this country.
That can afford
tens of thousands. But I'll bet damn near every one of them, their kids is going to public school.
Right. And similarly, you know, Bill Clinton came from a pretty poor background, too. Ends up a Rhodes Scholar.
Yeah. Well, supposedly, his family wasn't quite as poor as he likes it to be portrayed as. There's a lot of myth-making in there. But the reason why we're talking about this today, and the midterm elections are two weeks away from today. So we're still 2 years and 2 weeks away from the presidential election. But I wanted to put this out here now and say this is where I think, anyway, that the Democrats are going. And to begin, we have to understand that presidents in this country aren't elected by the people.
In fact, the last, seven or eight of them have been bought, sold, and controlled.
Well, even way beyond that. I mean, it goes back to FDR. It goes back to Woodrow Wilson. So this has been a long process. But in this day and age, presidents are selected long before they're ever elected. And, of course, there can be things that go wrong. Gary Hart was a good example. Gary Hart was slated to possibly be someone running for president. Now, he was either accidentally caught by the media after he challenged them to follow him and Donna Rice.
Uh-huh.
Or he was actually set up to make room for Bill Clinton or to lay the groundwork for him. So when someone's selected long in advance, it doesn't mean that they're guaranteed. It's just that they're one of the possible selections.
And we think that one thing to watch for is whether Barack Obama is one of the attendees at the next Bilderberg meeting.
Exactly. And that'll be a good determinant, because in 1991, when the Bilderbergs met in Germany, there was a relatively unknown governor that attended that meeting. His name was Bill Clinton. The next year he was elected president.
Right.
Now, another example of someone that hit a bump in the road is this governor, or this senator from Virginia, George Allen. A few months ago there came out all these revelations that he's a racist, that he was caught on tape calling someone a racial slur and so
mm-hmm.
forth. So just because someone's selected doesn't mean that they ultimately reach their goal. It's
right.
just that
look
they're one
the,
of the ones running.
Look at Rick Santorum.
Right.
The senator here in Pennsylvania. He's been an attendee at Bilderberg, and it looks like he's hit a little bit of a snag in the road, too.
Yeah, he right now, if you trust the polls, which we don't, but it looks like he's not a shoo-in. It looks like he's going to reach defeat here against a guy named Bob Casey, who was the son of the former governor of Pennsylvania. So anyway, years and decades ago, there was a deal made, an arrangement, where Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton would be a two-for-one deal. And they used to even brag about that in 1992. They'd say, if you elect Bill Clinton, you get a two-for-one deal, meaning you get this dual presidency. Well, the same deal was made with the Bushes. George Bush Sr. would be elected, then his retarded son would be elected president. So you have, what we have now is Bush, Clinton, Bush, and if this formula holds true, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Clinton.
I know that a lot of people don't like Hillary, but there are people, Victor, who do like her and see her as someone who was just the first lady when Bill Clinton was president. Who was really calling the shots
yeah.
at the White House, though? From all the books that we've read, and I think we must have every book ever written about the Clintons, it sure seems that Hillary had a lot more power and influence behind the scenes in the decision-making process when Clinton was president.
Well, here's the dynamic with Bill and Hillary. Bill's described as the man with the vision. Well, I don't know how much vision he has, but
can he see past his, you know what?
Yeah, yeah. And we're not talking about his nose. Yeah, Bill Clinton's described as the one who looks at the big picture, okay? Hillary is the hands-on person. She's the one who calls herself a policy wonk. In other words, she's the one that pays attention to the details. The devil is in the details, remember? So when they are in the White House, a lot of the behind-the-scenes activity, you better believe Hillary was there with her microscope looking over all of the fine deals.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, let's go back to 1980. Ronald Reagan was elected president after Jimmy Carter's disastrous four-year run. But the real mover and shaker in that administration wasn't Reagan the actor. It was Vice President George Bush, who was, we remember, the head of the CIA in the 1970s,
right.
in the mid-70s, okay? And he's Mr. Insider. He's held every office there is to hold that someone could be. He's the ultimate insider.
It's like they select a front man who seems rather endearing and appealing, who has the public appeal
right.
to be the face. And then the real decision maker is the shrewd
yeah.
person standing next to them.
Yeah, like Dick Cheney
yeah.
today. Like, even with Ronald Reagan, there was a guy named Donald Regan who was calling a lot of shots behind the scenes. But anyway, Reagan's elected, Bush is behind the scenes, and he's working in unison with a governor from Arkansas named Bill Clinton. They're setting up, along with Oliver North and all of these other criminals, for lack of a
right.
better word, they're setting up the whole Iran-Contra deal where they're taking guns down to South and Central America and bringing drugs back. Well, where are they landing these drugs?
And Mena, Arkansas,
yep.
was the hub of the drug activity going on there.
Right, this little rural airport in Arkansas in a town called Mena. Now, Bill Clinton was the guy calling all the shots in Arkansas. He was the hands-on guy, while the big-picture guy running the whole operation was George Bush Sr. As a reward for their activities, George Bush gets selected president in 1988, and then these two run against each other in 92. Now, these two have so much dirt on each other.
And think about it. If the average Joe Sixpack in the United States decides to run for president, and they have a lot of this dirt attached to their name, and we know how the political smear campaigns go. They get pretty down and dirty and vicious. If the average Joe Sixpack had a string of suspicious murders attached to their name and surrounding them in their life experiences, do you think they should be able to get into the White House? Yet, time and time again, we see people who have a string of mysterious murdered people in their life experience on their resume getting into the White House.
And George Bush Sr. and Bill Clinton both have these death counts
attached
to them.
They both have body counts, right.
Plus, George Bush Sr., why is he bringing up all of the dirty dealings out in Arkansas when Clinton was governor? All his womanizing, the way he dodged the draft, and
Say the Republicans wanted to make sure that a Republican candidate was a shoo-in, right? The easiest way to do that was to just dish out all this dirt on Bill and Hillary. There's so much of it. Where should one even begin?
Exactly. And vice versa. Bill Clinton could have done the same to George Bush Sr.
But they don't.
Yeah. Instead, they have these three phony stage debates.
Yeah, they play where, political wiffle ball.
Yeah, and nothing's brought up. Then, to even add more intrigue to the mix, this guy named Ross Perot throws his hat in the ring. Now, Ross Perot's perceived as certainly more conservative than liberal, and the Perots have a long-standing dislike of the Bush family, okay? So, what Ross Perot does is he siphons off votes by, this is all calculated, of course, he siphons off votes from George Bush. Bill Clinton gets selected with only 43% of the popular vote, and he becomes president. All the while, George Bush Sr. could have brought up all this dirt on him, and instead he mamby-pambies, he pussyfoots around, and nothing's brought to the table.
For that matter, Ross Perot could have come out with all of this stuff and wiped them both off the map.
Yeah, and there's a lot of evidence that actually Ross Perot was having secret meetings with Bill Clinton prior to the election so they could calculate how this election was supposed to fall. So this certainly wasn't a fair, above-board election by any means, okay? Anyway, Bill Clinton is president. Bill and Hillary are Clinton president for 8 years. Then they hand the reins over to the next puppet, George W. Bush. Now, when Bill Clinton was president, of course, we had the predecessor to 9/11 happen on his watch, which was OKC, the Oklahoma City bombing, which set the stage then for 9 months after George W. Bush takes office, we have 9/11. That starts our Orwellian perpetual war on terror.
And, you know, if they really don't want Hillary to be in the White House, they're going to have to do a lot better than just calling her ugly.
Yeah, yeah, this is what we're going to talk about this guy in a little bit. But all the best the Republicans can do to run against Hillary is to have this guy named Stewart, who's a nobody, and he's calling her ugly, or he's refuting that he called her ugly, but he's alluding to it.
Is that supposed to be a good start?
Yeah, so this is the best they can do. So anyway, we have Bush, Clinton, Bush.
Clinton, and it looks like it's going to be Bush, Clinton, Bush, Clinton. God only knows when they're going to get Chelsea in there to get on with this. Victor went to go let the dog out for a second because the dog is freaking out. So all I can say is they really need to come up with a better strategy if they're going to play this political theater for the benefit of all of you voters out there. A lot of people in the mainstream are probably going to fall for it, as they typically do.
Well, not fall for it. They're complicit in it. I mean, that's well proven. So, Mrs.
The public
Clinton
is complicit?
Oh, I thought you said the media. Well,
no.
Yeah, the public will fall for it. The media is complicit in allowing them or perpetuating this whole thing. So, what we have, let's get back now to the prediction. 2008 Democratic ticket's going to be Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Mrs. Clinton is one of the most polarizing and hated figures in the history of politics.
And I'll tell you, there is a genuine aversion to the idea that Bill Clinton will once again possibly live in the White House. Do we want to swim in that miasma again?
Exactly. Now, to take the edge off of Hillary, they need a media darling. Someone that talks about unity.
Somebody who's squeaky clean.
Yeah, that's squeaky clean. And it has a likable appeal to them. Hence, Barack Obama. Now, as we said, he was on the cover of Time magazine. I read this article. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to dig into this, and I'm going to find what this guy's all about. Well, I read page after page after page, and there's nothing there. There's nothing to him.
There doesn't seem to be anything of substance to Barack Obama. He hasn't really accomplished anything in the Senate, right?
Yeah, he's in the Senate. He's from Illinois.
What did he accomplish? I think he helped write a minor piece of legislation, like one thing got passed. And other than that, he really hasn't accomplished jack.
Yeah. And then on top of that, he's on Larry King. As we said, there was nothing of substance there. I mean, just a slick politician.
But look at how they're hyping him up now. I mean, you accomplished nothing in your political office, yet you're on Larry King.
Yeah.
He makes some appealing speeches to the public.
Well, on top of that, to even give a more likable appeal to Barack Obama, a couple weeks before he appeared on Larry King, Oprah Winfrey was on there. Oprah's the queen of talk for 20 years now. And she says that she endorses Barack Obama for the presidency.
And you know, if Oprah says you should do it, I guess that's the end, right?
Yeah, I mean, Oprah has her book club. She has her magazine. She has her talk show. She's now on satellite radio. She's everywhere in the media. She's on all the different, you know, nightly entertainment shows and so forth.
That's supposed to steal the women's vote for Barack.
Well, the thing that is happening is, even though she's endorsing him for president, this guy's only 45 years old. He's not going to make it for the presidency. He's too young. He's too untried. There's no way he's going to get the front runner. Right. But what they're doing, and this is the strategy here, is they're getting his name out there, putting him in the limelight. Then, when these two run in the primaries, if it's Hillary and Barack and, say, another six or eight Democrats, Hillary and Barack are going to be very cognizant not to rip into each other.
Well, I think the whole presence of him next to her is to try to dilute some of her toxicity.
Oh, exactly. Absolutely. And there's a strategy behind that, too. So the only thing Barack Obama has done is he gave a speech at the 2004 Democratic National Convention where John Kerry, the Skull and Bones man, was nominated. That's the only thing he's ever done. He's given a speech. This was a very charismatic speech. It stole the show. Everybody was talking about it for a couple of days. It put him on the map, but there's no legislation behind him. There's no bold moves. There's nothing to this guy whatsoever.
Except
nothing.
He does have a winning smile.
Yes,
and apparently they're using, you know, the fact that he looks like a benign entity. And compared to Hillary, you know, a rattlesnake would look benign.
Yeah. So here's what we have to look at now is the demographics. What's the strategy behind this? Well, Hillary presumably would carry, if she ran in 2008, presumably she would carry her home state of New York. That's 31 electoral votes.
Mm-hmm.
Barack Obama presumably would win Illinois, another large state.
Especially when you have Oprah pushing him.
Yeah, and Oprah's from Chicago, and we have to remember, Hillary Clinton's also from Illinois. So there's 21 electoral college votes in Illinois, right there. Just two states, they have 52 votes already out of a needed 270. On top of that, if Hillary can pull the female vote, okay, and we have to remember
And if Bill Clinton can secure the black vote.
Well, Bill also, when he ran and won the presidency two times, overwhelmingly more women voted for Bill Clinton than men, which is unbelievable in my mind, because here we have a proven rapist, a proven serial sexual predator.
It just goes to show how many women out there, Victor, would fall for this kind of predator.
Someone that views women as nothing more than sexual objects, is nothing but pieces of meat. And anyone that does any research on him and the way Bill Clinton speaks about women, it's unbelievable. He'll shake their hand one time at a rally and whisper beneath his breath, he wonders how good of blowjobs they give. Things
but
like that.
Know,
he's just a pig.
It's not just young women, because out in the Midwest, I actually met a woman in her office who had this little shrine set up to Bill Clinton. And she was middle-aged. This woman was a middle-aged Midwestern housewife and worked at a job, and she had a little shrine to Bill Clinton in her office. I mean, he has this weird appeal to women.
So anyway, if Hillary can garner the female vote, and Bill can pull a couple more in there, Barack Obama then would get the blacks and other minorities, and between their two home states, well, Hillary's nothing but a carpetbagger,
right.
But if you take those two states, the women, the blacks, and the minorities, right there, you're starting to build enough of a mountain that they might win the election.
And couple the pushing that Oprah can do, the influence Oprah Winfrey can have, with what Victor just said, along with the massive money they have behind them, the massive money machine Hillary has behind her.
Yeah, because she's raised right now millions and millions, and since she has such an easy race, she's ahead in the polls like 30-some points. All this money that she's raised for this race can automatically already start towards her presidential race. Now, we have to factor in something else, and that's George W. Bush and the hangover this country is going to feel after 8 years of this disaster. I mean, first of all, we have this war in Iraq, which reminds people more and more of Vietnam every day. People aren't forgetting this. They're sick of it now. The midterm elections are going to be a reflection of how sick they are of the war.
In fact, Time magazine just quotes Dick Cheney as saying they're not looking for an exit strategy, the Republicans. They're just looking to win. Yeah, none of us seems to know what it is to win. What does it mean to win in Iraq?
Well, and if this is the path to victory, maybe we better take a different route. On top of that, we have all the scandals that have revolved around the good Christians in the GOP party.
Mm-hmm.
We have Duke Cunningham and Tom DeLay and this Mark Foley.
Yeah, but you know how it's being played. It's being played to make Bill Clinton's indiscretions and disgraces in the White House pale by comparison.
Yeah, exactly. So we have this flashback to Richard Nixon, you know, Tricky Dick, and all the scandals of his presidency, and we saw what happened to that, is they marched Gerald Ford out there, the ex-Bilderberg lapdog, and Jimmy Carter wins. It didn't matter who the Democrats put in there in 76, Jimmy Carter was going to win because people were so sick of Nixon's reign of disaster.
So let me ask you, if Barack and Hillary run on the same ticket, who do you think the Republicans are going to get to counter them?
Well, that's a good question, because here's what's going to happen. If we look at Hillary's Senate race right now in New York, it's 2 weeks away. If the Republicans were a legitimate, real party that wanted to win, instead of getting this guy named Stewart, who I think was like a mayor of Yonkers or something, I mean, he was like, he's a nothing. No one has ever heard of him. He has no appeal whatsoever. There's no chance of him to win. If the Republicans were for real, they'd get the meanest, most vicious son of a bitch they could find, a pit bull.
He's already the vice president.
Yeah, but get him up there and just rip into Hillary day after day after day after day for months and months and months and months, and bring out all the scandals and the everything on her, all the dirt. But instead,
they don't want to end up on the body count list.
Well, no. This whole thing,
it's all theater, people.
The whole thing has been set up that Hillary breezes through the 2006 election unscathed.
Right. It's the same as we see in any other of these fake debates on TV when they supposedly go after one another on the issues. And yet, the issue is never 9/11. the truth about 9/11. So the same in these political campaigns. The Republicans could knock the Democrats out in one punch. The Democrats could knock the Republicans out in one punch. Yet they still continue to play wiffle ball.
Yeah. Well, the point I guess is most important to remember is that the Republicans are following the script.
Right.
They put a nobody up there against Hillary, so when she comes out of this election, she has all her money.
She has the name recognition.
She doesn't have any baggage on her, so she wasn't hit with all these old scandals and so forth, like Vince Foster, like Mena, Arkansas, like the murder of Ron Brown, like the boys on the railroad mm-hmm. tracks, and on and on. Okay, they're following the script. Then for 2008, what's going to happen is that name one person in the Republicans now that has a big name that's going to beat her. John McCain, we know, is a total schmuck.
Yep.
His old man was one of the guys responsible for the USS Liberty covered up.
Right.
Now, Rudolph Giuliani was up to his neck in 9/11 cover-up.
Right.
And neither one of them are going to win anyway. So what I predict is going to happen is similar to the Democrats in 1988 when they threw Michael Dukakis out there against George Bush Sr., who was the most tepid, dishrag, limp candidate there is, who had no appeal whatsoever. The Republicans, I think, are going to be so beaten down that they're going to throw a limp, dishrag candidate
right.
out there.
And all that tells you is it's time to flip the coin.
Yeah.
They just pass it back and forth.
So it's going to be Bush, Clinton. And all Hillary has to do then is pretend to be a centrist. In other words, move towards the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk about anything real controversial. Don't make any huge gaffes. Now, this is going to take a lot of work on Hillary's part because
Absolutely.
This woman is an unmitigated sociopath, psychopath, lunatic,
and
crazy woman.
I don't think she can pull it off 100%.
Well,
she hasn't been able to pull that off in the past.
Yeah. This woman is a lunatic.
Yeah.
That she's a bubbling cauldron like a volcano with one of the most vulgar mouths of anybody that's ever entered a presidential race.
And she surrounds herself with people who don't dare speak about
exactly.
her. That's why I thought John Stadtmiller's statement the other day on the show, where he said he spoke to a Secret Service agent in Washington who told him about Hillary being in the shower with a woman. Nobody around Hillary.
Well, no, that's not.
Dares to talk about her, you know, if she can get to them.
Well, in her inner circle, they don't.
Yeah.
But I know there are a lot of the former Arkansas state troopers and CIA agents
yeah,
that have
spoken
up. Yeah, but
that still poses the question, how would John Stadtmiller manage to get the ear of a Secret Service agent to talk about such a delicate matter involving Hillary?
Well, and I've actually heard people tell me that they've heard from Secret Service people that Hillary's a lesbian, too. So I don't think this is any secret.
No, that's not the point of what I was saying, though.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how that happened, but a lot of people talk about the Clintons. Believe me, a lot of people. The only ones that don't are the ones that stay in Hillary's little inner circle, and she demands complete loyalty from them, or they're booted down the road. But, the Clintons are so hated, that anybody that has a chance to speak out about them does. That's why there's so many books written about them that show.
I just still find it very questionable how John Stadtmiller could get such an audience.
Well, I mean, I don't even really know what it matters right now. I mean, Hillary is a known lesbian or a known bisexual.
Well, obviously, so what?
But what the thing that disturbs me about it isn't that she is one, is that she doesn't have the courage to actually come out and admit what she is.
More than that, what disturbs me is that there's over 300 million people in this country, and we keep passing the presidency back and forth between two families.
Yeah, Bush, Clinton. And, I mean, it's like a British monarchy, except that it's a dual monarchy that's going back and forth. And
why don't they just wear a crown?
I mean, if we follow this scenario, and if Hillary struts into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in 2008... begins her term in January 2009, that is the final nail in the coffin of the United States of America.
If you think it's bad now,
yeah,
I can't even describe how bad I think it's going to be then.
Yeah, the USA will be DOA RIP. Dead on arrival, rest in peace, it's all over and done with. Bill Clinton brought in NAFTA and GATT. The Bushies, well, George Bush Sr. laid the groundwork for NAFTA and GATT, And Clinton is the one that pushed it through. Now, George Bush Jr.'s handlers are the ones pushing through the legislation for this NAFTA superhighway. And guess who's going to be the implementer of that? Hillary Clinton. She'll be the one that rolls the red carpet out. I mean, it's almost a mirror image of what happened between Bush Sr. and Clinton. Now they're setting the stage for W and Hillary.
You know, Obama being her sidekick there, too, he'll be just having to do everything she wants. You know, he's not going to be like a Cheney to her presidency.
He'll be going
to, right?
He'll be going to funerals.
The water boy. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll, it's like, hey, Barack, the Prime Minister of Nigeria died. Put him on a plane.
Yeah.
Put him, you know, he'll be the ones going to the
Barack,
wall.
Barack, get me coffee.
Yeah, he'll be the ones going when they when they open up a new Walmart in Topeka, Kansas. He'll be the one out there shaking hands and stuff. Yeah, he'll be nothing more than just, he'll be nothing more than the smiling figurehead.
Yeah, well,
that,
but that's all that any of them are.
Yeah.
Figureheads.
Yeah, and, you
little
know,
ornaments.
Barack Obama, he'd be more than happy with that. I mean, he's going to be vice president, maybe. I mean, that's a pretty good gig.
Well, yeah, that will be considered an accomplishment in his life, I would imagine.
One last thing, if you go on the Wing TV homepage, Hillary Clinton, as we said, is trying to be more of a centrist, not to speak out on controversial issues. And Hillary is 100% pro-abortion. I mean, her and her husband are so psychotic and sick that they even support partial birth abortion, which is where the entire baby is pulled from the womb except for the head, and then they stick a pair of scissors through the temple and kill the baby. That's how extreme they are. Now, Hillary lately has been saying, oh, you know, abortion, we should just blah, blah, blah. But now there's this Proposition 85 out in California, where all the pro-abortionists are trying to make it legal that teenage girls can get an abortion without their parents' consent or knowledge, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hillary is actually backing these people. So if this legislation, if they can't overturn this, a 13-year-old girl can go to a hospital, get an abortion, and then a doctor can pick up the phone and say, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, we'd like to inform you that your daughter just got an abortion. Not before the fact, only after the fact. And Hillary is 100% behind this. So that little girls can go get abortions and without telling anybody about it.
Parents are maintaining less and less of their parental rights as time goes by. Now the kids will have more rights than the parents.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So anyway,
and they'll have law backing them up.
There's the prediction. The 2008 Democratic ticket will be Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. You heard it here first. And with almost all of my predictions, I can honestly say I hope I'm 100% wrong.
You know what? I really hope you're wrong, too.
Because God help us all if I'm right.
But the thing is, what's the alternative? Either way.
Yeah.
Either way, what's the alternative?
Yeah, we're stuck in this two-party machine that is not only abysmal, but it's one of the major factors in the destruction of the United States of America.
I don't know when this ride's going to end or how we make the ride stop. But either way, it's not looking too good.
We'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Thanks for tuning in. Until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See everybody then.